Zvi Lieberman, Parshas Va'era.
In the beginning of the parasha, we've got the pasuk Va'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak, el Yaakov. The Rabbi Shem says, I appeared to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, v'keil shakoi, oshmi Hashem lo yinodatu lehem. So there's a small Rashi, quite a famous Rashi. Rashi on Va'era says, el ha'ovois. So the question is, what exactly is Rashi telling me? To tell me that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the others, we know that. Rashi's not adding anything l'chayra to what we know already. What exactly is Rashi saying, explaining by adding the word el ovos? So there is a interesting pshat, maybe it's a bit b'derech remez, but it's a gewaltige pshat nevertheless. The Badis Yosef brings it down. Rashi had a kasha. Why does it say v'era el Avraham, El Yitzchak ve'El Yaakov? It could have said, it could have been a bit more bekitzer. Ve'era el Avraham Yitzchak ve'Yaakov. Why do we need a separate word El by all three of the others? So Rashi comes to explain that the significance, the chashivas of Avraham Yitzchak ve'Yaakov is their whole life was focused that they are ovos. Their whole life was focused. Their job is to put down foundations for the future of Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak, he had a gewaltige father, Avraham Avinu. That wasn't the most important thing of his life, to rely on that he had a father, Avraham Avinu. My job is to build the future. Yaakov had a father and a grandfather. He was Ben Yitzchak and Ben Avraham. He didn't rely. He didn't sit back and say, "Uncle Gavalkus chus ovois, I'm a mela, I'll just sort of enhance a little bit my chus ovois." No. My tafkid is to build the future. My tafkid is to lay foundations. My tafkid is I've got to build the lay down a new omud, a new yosoid for Klal Yisrael. When Avraham Avinu was the omud achesed, he knew he was one of the ovois. He has to lay down the foundations that the world has to be the world of chesed. He has to build a future generation of chesed. Yitzchak knew his tafkid is to be one of the ovois. He has to put down the foundations to make sure there's an omud of avoda. And Yaakov knew his job of being the ovois is to lay down the omud of Torah. Each one in his own rights. So each one, the Torah puts in separate el to make them each one separate in order to show us that Avraham Avinu was the omud on his own, Yitzchak was the omud on his own, and Yaakov was the omud on his own. That's what Rashi is telling me. Va'era el ha'ovois. Each one looked his tafkid. His job is to build up the future of Klal Yisrael. That's why there's a separate el for each one of them. And the same reason we find in Shemoneh Esra that Elekei Avraham, Elekei Yitzchak, Elekei Yaakov. Again, we don't shorten it by saying Elekei Avraham, Yitzchak Yaakov. Each one was a total separate of on his own. Each one set up separate foundations for Klal Yisrael. Each one put in separate koichos for the future Klal Yisrael. That's why each one is mentioned separately. This is a limut that every person has to know. His tafkid in the world is not just to sit back and relax and rely on the schusim of previous generations. Every person has got this tafkid of setting up future generations. Every person, his tafkid is to be one of the ovois of his future generations. We say, the Balas Yosef carries on in Rosh Hashanah, the night of Rosh Hashanah, one of the yerotzes we say is Shenir Leroish Veloy Lazono. See, he carries on the Parashas Yosef in the same thought, and he says A person who relies on previous generations, and he doesn't do too much on his own, so then he's at a tail end of schusim. So therefore he's equivalent in, to a certain extent, to a zonov. The tremendous schusim, but it stops by him. He's the tail end of all those schusim. A person who realizes, no, his job is to build the future. Shenir l'roish, we should be in the beginning of a cycle. We should set up our own foundations for the future. V'loy l'zonov, not just relying on the previous generations and sort of saying, well, I've got the schusim of previous generations and I just need to rely on that, I just soymuch on that. That's beged, unfortunately, can be beged l'zonov. That's shenir l'roish. Our job is to be future, to build future generations and not just to rely on past. As I think I've said it over here once before already, I heard this phrase b'shem Rabbi Dr. Schoenfeld Zatzal. He said, our job is to be ancestors, not descendants. That's our job in the world. Our job, we can't just rely on being descendants. Our job is to be ancestors of the future generations. This idea of our avodah is not just to rely on previous generations. Our job is our own avodah, to set up future, the future of Klal Yisrael, is merumas in last week's parasha as well. It says by Miriam and Echeved, by Yas Lohem Botim, the Rabbeinu Shalom, as a reward for their Mesiris Nefesh, for their Mesiris Nefesh, for saving the Yiddish children, by Yas Lohem Botim. What does botim mean? As Rashi explains from the Gemara in Soita, botim kahuna, botim levio, botim malchus, those were the houses they were given. So the Mefarshim point out, we find Taka in Tehillim constantly, Beis Aroin, Beis Halevi, always the expression of houses. When it comes to Yirei Hashem, it's not called Beis Yirei Hashem. There's Yirei Hashem without the word Bais. When it comes to Kohuna, and when it comes to Leviyah, that's taka something one receives by Yerusha. If a person's father is a Kohen, he's a Kohen. If he's a Kohen, his child is a Kohen. That's an automatic Koyach, which goes over from generation to generation. And that's something which works automatically. You don't need to do any work. There's nothing a son of a Kohen has to do to receive the Kohuna. That works in a house. That works with the four walls. The four walls of this person automatically transfer kahuna from father to son and from son to grandson. When it comes to Yirei Hashem, when it comes to the void of Yirei Shemayim or Torah, that's nothing to do with a person's father, and a father can't rely on his father, a son can't rely on his father. That's something everybody gets his own avoider. A person has got his own power to become a Yirei Hashem, Bochus Hashem. Nothing to do with previous generations. You can't even rely at all on previous generations when it comes to Yirei Hashem. I saw brought down the first Ostrovtzer Rebbe, the earliest Ostrovtzer Rebbe. Apparently his father was a baker. Used to bake bagels. He had a bagel bakery. That was the father of the first Ostrovtzer Rebbe. So once he was sitting with a whole group of people round the table, a whole group of chashuvim, a whole group of anoshim gedoyim of that generation, and everybody was saying over divrei Torah from his father, from his zeder. They were saying over, and then it came to the Ostrovtzer Rebbe's turn, and there was a bit of a tense silence in the room. What can he say over from his father? What can he say from his zeder? His father was a baker, finding yid of a baker nevertheless. What can he say over? But the Ostrovtzer Rebbe didn't hesitate for a moment, and he said, my father was a baker, and he taught me a great lesson in life. He taught me a fresh bagel is better than a stale challah. That was apparently it's become a famous saying, and that's he said. He said, it's very nice. Maybe people can be a challah with a lot of plat and a lot of previous generations, but without a person's own avodah, it's a stale challah. A person can be a fresh start, a small bagel, but if it's a fresh bagel, it's far more choshuv than a stale challah. The yesod is, we have to all be fresh, our own ischachus in avodas Hashem. We have to all work on ourselves. We are who we are. Never mind previous generations, previous devout, is such a tremendous zach, but you can't sit back and rely on the schuz obeis, complete without way completing your takis in the world. You have to make a new ischachus in the Avodas Hashem. You have to do your chelik in the Avodas Hashem, and you have to build your future generations. We've all got the tafkid of being obeis, not just looking back. We have to build our future. That's the remez in these two small words of Rashi. Vo'era el ha'obeis. They were obeis. They all looked with a focus of the future, and they didn't just look at the past. And that's how they were taken, the great obeis of Klal Yisrael, and that's why each one his own has got his own special mention. Let's move on to the parasha a little bit. The first moifus which Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron came to do in front of Paroi, as we know, when Paroi asked them, "Who are you? Show who you are." Ki dabelecha Paroi leimai tenu lechem moifus, said the Rabbeinu Shem, "Tell Aaron, take your stick and throw it in front of Paroi, and it'll turn into a snake." And that's what they did. We know Chazal say this moifus didn't make much impression on first. Turning sticks into snakes in Mitzrayim, that was a small feat. That wasn't anything very special. Paroi's wife could do it, the children could do it. It became a laughing stock in the palace of Paroi. Is that all you've got to show for yourself? Not very much. Finally, it got a bit more serious when Aaron's stick started swallowing all the other sticks. Then it became more serious. But in the beginning, it wasn't so impressive to show who is the Moshe and Aaron, who are the shluchim of. So Rameh Shapira Zatzal asked, what was Takad, the reason behind the Rabbeinu Shel Olam showing this moifus, which didn't really show much at first? The end showed tremendous koiches. But at the beginning, what was the taklis of turning the stick into a snake? Says Rameh Shapira Zatzal in his unique style. He says like this, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, I come to Paroi and say, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Molech, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who's Boyer Shemai Boretz, wants his people back. B'ni B'chor Yisrael, they are the cream of the world. They are the highest nation in the world. They have to come and serve Hashem. Said Paroi, had a taina. They, low class people, look at them. Halolo Idavei Dezorah, Halolo Idavei Dezorah. Who are they? They should come to, they are the chosen nation, meant to be the avodim of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Kabbonis. I don't see very much in them. I don't see any way how they can become this great nation. You talk about this great Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who you're representing. They should be the avodim of this great Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Who are they? Low class people, doing absorb the Tumas Mitzrayim totally. In what way can you prove that your mission makes sense? Says the Meir Shapira, Paroi said, "Tenu lochem moifes, not tenu li moifes. Show your moifes. Show that your mission makes sense. Why should I send them out to you? Even if you're right." I mean, Paroi probably deep down knew this is such things as the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But even if you're right, they should be the servants of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Tenu lochem moifes. Show that your mission makes sense. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, "Yes, they are very high quality people. Do you know why they look like they are? It's just because of you. You, Paroi, are the one who spreads tumor. Anybody who gets anywhere near to you gets spoilt. Anybody who's mistabik to us, messengers of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, goes up in Madrega." Said Moshe Rabbeinu, "Look at this stick. This stick had the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's name engraved on it, had Gevulkid Tzeruvim on it, had lots of things on it. I'm going to throw this stick in front of you and look what's going to happen. When I throw this stick in front of you, it turns into a low-class snake. They are not the problem, you, Paroi, are the problem. Tenu lochem moifes," he says, "I'll show you." Said Moshe Rabbeinu, "When I'm going to pick it up, it turns into a Gevulkid stick again. When they're connected to us, Shluchim of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the highest Madrega, connected to you, the lowest. It's the Hashpoa which you're putting in it. So you can't ask questions about how the Eden are deserving. Of course they're deserving. They've been ever on it to Yaakov. They're behaving now Mitzrayim. It's all just you, your Hashpoa." They said to Meshapir Satal, the Hashpoa which a person has from his sviva is so powerful. The best person, but if he's in a bad place, gets the bad ashpor, can end up doing the lowest of things. His toichen remains. The toichen of a yid never gets spoiled. The toichen of a yid is always pure. He has to be put in the right sviva. One has to know the ashpor of the sviva is extremely powerful. And as the Meir Shpirtz itself finishes off, he says one mustn't underestimate the power of ashpor sviva. I saw a horror from the Gaon of Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal. He said in Parshas Bamidbar, we find when Klal Yisrael was positioned, the Shvatim, each shaved where it should be. We know, and then Machne Levia was closer, each Chedek of Machne Levia where they should be. So Rashi points out already in Parshas Bamidbar, Degel Ruvin were close to Bnei Kohos. Bnei Kohos was close to Degel Ruven, Sheva Ruven. Says Rashi, that's why by the Machlokes of Korach, who was part of Bnei Kohos, we know how badly Sheva Ruven suffered. Dos Aviyam, 250 Roshi Sanedrois joined the Machlokes because Oyla Rosha Oyla Shechinai. Says Rabban Leib Zatzal, he says, Bishloima, if Sheva Ruven chose the place, I can understand the message which the Pasuk is telling me. You mustn't choose a place near to people who do wrong things. You get ashpor. But over here, they were given the place. They were positioned like that. Sheva Ruven were meant to go there. And Sheva Kohos were had to be there. So what message is the Pasuk telling me? It's not as if he was miscarried to Rishoyim. Not that Sheva Ruven put themselves near to Korach and his people. They were put there. So what is the message which the Torah is telling me? Says Rabbi Aleph Zatzal, the message is, it's irrelevant whether you were put there or you've been there for years. Hashpos hasviva is a fact. That's the message of the Pasuk. Hashpos hasviva, you can't justify yourself. Well, I was there first. I'm well settled. He's a guest. Well, there's any influence on me. You can have all sorts of reasonings why it's nothing to do with me. No. Even if you're meant to be there, the Rosh Hashanah, you should know the fact is Matthias. You have to. And obviously, if they had been extra careful, maybe they could have protected themselves to a certain way. The message is, Hashpor is a fact. It can't be overlooked and it can't be underestimated. Even if you're put there and you've got no way out, you should know that if the danger is extreme danger and they have to be careful about it. And they bring, Talmud Chacham told about Leib Zatzal that he once went to the Bris Karov years before. His family was brought up in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv used to have big chosh and kehillahs going back many years ago. And he was planning, he found the surroundings of Tel Aviv not very productive for his Yiddishkeit. And therefore he told the Bris Karov, I'm thinking of moving because of my children. So therefore, what will be the future of my children? So Bris Karov turns out to him, your children? What about you? And the Baal Leib Zatzal had gewalt gone off on the Meisa. People don't realize, they think, I'm okay, I'm a ready established person, I'm ready middle-aged, so therefore I'm already got no worries about. The Bris Karov said, no. Every person must realize, Hashpos HaSviva, irrelevant of what age group or what generation you are, Hashpos HaSviva is a fact, and therefore it's a danger which mustn't be underestimated. Last time I was here, I said over another vault of Bris Karov, the Oyla may remember, it doesn't matter if I repeat it. The Bris Karov on Parshas Vayishlach, a Yid was walking with the Bris Karov once when he went on his, he had to every now and then go to a place for recovery, for better air. So a Yid told him, the Drosha he told his Beis HaMedrash on Parshas Vayishlach, and he wanted to hear the Bris Karov's reaction. That was by him, Lovon Garti. So the Yid said, he spoke to his Kehillah, how is it possible? Im lovan garti v'loy lamati masaroyim. How is it possible? How did Yaakov protect himself that he wasn't mushpah from the Sviva? See, he said, the answer lies in the next positive. Vayihili shoyim v'chamoy. To Lovon. Lovon, I treated him, I looked at him as a shoyim v'chamoy. That's what Lovon and his family. I had no connection with them. I looked at them as shoyim v'chamoy, not fellow human beings. That's how I protect myself from their influence. So the Bris Karov thought for a few moments and said, Pshat in the Pasuk is dos nisht. Aber the Ryan is gewaltig. the Rayan, the thought is correct, even if it's not pshat in the pasuk, as the Briskerov said, Azoy Shem Mefurish and Rambam. Azoy Shem Mefurish and Rambam. The Rambam zogt in Pev Milchus Deis, Derech Briyosu Shel Adam Lies Nimshech B'Dei Ois V'Masam Achareyov V'Chaveirov. A person gets Nimshach. It's a Derech. It's impossible to change it. Derech Briyos is part of the Bria, but Nimshach. Over from Reyov V'Chaveirov. V'Noye Keminik Anshe Midotel Lefichet Soyron Lisrak El Tzadik V'Leish V'Tzach HaChomim. So the Biskerov, the Rambam says, Avada, it's a Metzias, a person influence. Over if it's Reyov V'Chaveirov. If you feel it's part of your community, let's call it, it's part of your circle. By Tucker, you don't look at them and realize it's like Shova Chamoy. If you go with that frame of mind, with that thought, then it's a gewaltige protection. So the Machshava is zichet correct that the Hashpoz HaSviva is a Matthias, and one needs to take measures to protect oneself against this Hashpoz. That was a message Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Paroi that you are the cause of the problem, but Klausel are fine. It's a positive Shiashim, Al Tiruni, Shanish Khoiresh, Sofasni Hashomesh, Klausel, tell the Rabbi Shalom, we may look black, but deep down, there, deep down, we haven't changed, and deep down, we want to come back to the Rabbi Shalom. We get influenced by our surroundings, but deep down, the Klausel remains the same. I was once speaking to a photographer, talking about, it used to be photos, used to be a proof of a certain incident, but nowadays with technology, a photo is not much of a proof. You can change photos, you can move it around, you can make all sorts of tricks with photos, you can find a person talking with somebody from three generations before, you can put it together, so you can't prove anything for photos. He said it's correct. But I don't exactly remember exactly the name. He said, but deep inside the camera, there is one part deep inside the camera where you can actually prove the authenticity of a photo, which you can't change. Or what it produces, you can produce all sorts of things, but there's one part deep inside the camera, there's a certain certain part of it which you can't change at all, and if you get hold of that part of the camera, that part inside kishka of the camera, and produce what that got, you'll only be there what the camera actually saw. That part of the camera you can't change. That's exactly what he's inside. The Yiddish of Pintler right deep inside. That you can't change. All the external can be moved around and changed backwards and forwards. But the Pintler deep inside, that doesn't change. We have to make sure that we don't get too influenced from externally. Oh, but there's always room to come back because the deep inside doesn't change. When it comes to Makas Dam, I saw gewaltige optaich in Makas Dam, which answers a lot of diukim in the psukim. In posuk, when it comes to posuk yutes in the Makas Dam, then it says that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu that tell Paroi that there's going to be dam b'chol Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be blood all the time. It mentions the Yoir. And it mentions there's going to be done all over Mitzrayim. There's going to be blood everywhere. Nevertheless, when Moshe Rabbeinu warned Paroi, he only mentioned about the Yori. He only mentioned about the main Nilus going to be affected by the Makkah. Why did he not mention about Dom B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim? That's kasha number one. Kasha number two. When it talks about the Yori, the Nilus, it says v'nepchu l'adom. It's going to change into blood. And that's mentioned twice in the Pesukim, that Zayin Posi, Yud Zayin is mentioned Nebkul Adam, Posi Chof, it says again, Vayehovchu Kolamayim Shavoyil Adam. Whereas, when it comes to the rest of Mitzrayim, or the other place, it just says, V'hoyodom, V'yudom, it will be, don't say V'nebkul, it will change over, it will be blood. A third aura, again, when it talks about the oil, there's a lot of stress about the dead fish. In Pos Yud Ches, it talks about the fish going to die, and the fish is going to be contaminated, the Yo'oi is going to be contaminated, and they won't be able to drink. It mentions a lot about the contamination of the Yo'oi. But whereas when it comes to the other waters, it doesn't mention the contamination, it just says, there was Vayidom, they tried the dam. It doesn't mention anything about the fish, the contamination which the dead fish are going to cause. So the Sefer Gevurah Yitzchak says, there was actually two chalokim to Makas Dam. There were two parts of Makas Dam. He says, he brings from Rabbi Yosef B'choy Shoyv to one of the Baal HaTosfos, which says, What happened was the Yo'oi turned into proper blood. It was water, and literally the water turned, not just, it looked like it turned into proper blood for a short while, and all the fish died, because fish can't survive in blood. All the fish died. But he says, the B'yosef Choyoshoi, he says, afterwards, the Yo'oi turned back into water. It wasn't necessarily just for a short while it turned into proper blood, then it turned back into water, and he says that's why the Kasha, but he asked, which water did the Mitzrayim try to change into blood? They tried to copy this, they copied it, they took the water of the oil, it was back into water. Whereas, he says, when it comes to the other waters of Mitzrayim, there weren't necessarily fish everywhere, there it was just blood arrived there, became a taruvus, blood was mixed into the water. So the oil turned into blood, the rest of the water didn't change. The water remained water. Just there was blood there as well. It was mixed with blood to make it undrinkable because there was blood mixed inside. See, he explains the Gurusis. Really, we need to know the Makkos had a twofold message for Mitzrayim. Number one, the Makkos was an oinish for Mitzrayim. Begames ha'goyesh ha'avoydu don anoichi. Mitzrayim had a punishment. These were punishments of Mitzrayim. All what they did against the Yidden, they got their punishment. There was a second point. There was an inyan of oisus amoisim bezois teidach in Yashem. There was an inyan of showing them that the Rabbein Hashem controls the world, that they should know there's a Rabbein Hashem who's in charge of everything. So there was an inyan of giving them a chance to do tshuva. This upon the beginning of the parasha talks about varichas. It was an inyan of giving them a chance to do tshuva. So that was a message from Hashem to show them what's right, and beside that inyan of oinish. Oy bazoy, says the Gevurah, it's a very geshmak. The Yo'oi, that was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. The Yo'oi, the reason why the Yo'oi had to be changed into proper blood, that was to show that your Avodah Zarah is nothing, there's nothing to it, there's only the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Einoi Belvadoi, he's the one in charge, there's no other control in the world besides the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and your Yo'oi, which you thought had Sel Cheshivas, turned into proper blood? That showed them the message that the Avodah Zarah of the oil is nothing. And that was the way the Rabbeinu Shalom gave them the chance. Look what's happening. A chance for them to do tshuva. But besides that, they deserved a punishment. They deserved a punishment for afflicting the Eden. The punishment was no drinking water for a year, for a week, for 7 days, no drinking water. The Yo'oi, the fact that it turned into blood, proper blood, killed off all the fish. And therefore, even though it turned back to water, it wasn't necessary to stay down for longer. The message of Bezos Teda was achieved. Now, the dead fish contaminated the water. They couldn't drink it in any case. So therefore, it was enough to change over to blood for a short while. Because even when they turned back, the contamination remained from the fish, and therefore they couldn't drink it in any case, so the oinish was there with it. The other waters didn't need to turn into blood. They didn't serve the other waters. The other waters were just offshoots of the Nilus, was only offshoots of the oil. So the other waters wasn't necessary for it to turn into blood, but they needed to have it that they can't use it. That's why it got mixed with blood. It just turned into blood, got mixed up, v'yudam. It didn't actually switch over the metzias. It just, there was blood in there in order to make sure that they can't drink it. That stayed for 7 days. They could have the blood disappear, they could have drunk it. So that oinish part of it, that had to stay for 7 days. Mameli says, all the dukkim are beautiful. The hasra, the main warning which Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Paro was, but you should realize, look at your oil, you think it's choshuv, it's garnished. It's going to turn into blood. That was the hasra, the parish should take note of that. That's why that's mentioned more than the other bloods. V'nebchu, only the oil turned into blood, because that they needed to show them that Avodah Zarah is garnished. The others was enough for Yudah. And thirdly, that the fish that was only necessary in the main oil, which was only turned into blood for a short while, so that stopping them from drinking it was through the contamination which the dead fish did. The other waters, the Boshi just made sure that it's not usable. There was no need to have the dead fish, not all of them had fish, they haven't got fish in every collection of water, there just was blood there to make sure you can't drink it. With this, he explains further diukim. He says, if you look carefully at the psukim, they seem to be two actions which were done with the stick. On one hand, the pasuk talks about hitting the water, makeh b'mata shaviyodi, hitting the water with a stick. And the pasuk test talks about neteyotcho, just pointing with a stick. Was there hitting or was there pointing? The Rabban says there was both. Aaron did two actions with a stick. Well, he did a hitting and he did pointing. Says the Gurus Yitzchok, the Hesbos like this, the Yo'oi, which needed to be shown, would need turn into proper blood. That was a poorly done through hitting. The hitting was, b'matash of a neck on, is makeh b'matash is going on to dogash of Yo'oi. It's going on to mayim sheva Yo'oi. The hitting was for nest number one, the actual Yo'oi turning into blood. That was done through hitting. The other waters never turned into blood. Therefore, didn't need the pool of hitting, was just pointing. They should all be mixed with blood. That was different actions for different parts of it. So he said, the psukim, the Gemara says, the Gevalgim Meduyik, we look carefully at the psukim, there's a lot of double lashonos. If we take note, there are two halakim of it. And the two lessons from it, that it fits in beauty in the pasuk, they were shown that the avodah zarah was nothing, and they were given the punishment at the same time. The lessons were for Klal Yisrael as well. Wasn't just the main lesson the Machim needed. Klal Yisrael also needed Chizik in the Munah. As we know from the Pesukim, the lessons were for Klal Yisrael to benefit as well. They also got the benefit. They saw, if they had any doubts, the Halol Eidah Zara, they saw that Avodah Zara was nothing. If they had any doubts on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam looking after them, they saw the punishments. They saw everything. But those are the two Chalokim in Makkos Dam. One more Ha'orah for Makkos Tzvadea. We find, we all know, when the Tzvadea came along, it said, Vatal HaTzvadea, the single Tzvadea came along. And Rashi Ashbid Zalosh and Medrash Tanhuma, to Gemara Sanhedrin, some of Zion as well. Rabbi Kiva said, it started off being one Tzvadea. From this one Tzvadea, all the others swarmed from it. So the Gemara Sanhedrin doesn't talk about the hitting. Rashi brings from the Medrash Tanhuma, Rashi brings that they hit it. And that's how the Tzvadea produced more and more. That's Rabbi Kiva's opinion in the Gemara and in the Medrash. But the Gemara carries on. Om Rabbi Lozer Zara, Akiva, Malacho Eitzel Agota, Klach Eitzel Negoin Vaholis. What are you using your koiches in Agotas? Your koiches lie in the Goin Vaholis. That's not Pshat the Posik. Pshat is Tzvadea Echot, Shorokolehem Vein Bo. It's one Tzvadea, and it gave its call, and that's how he called the other Tzvadea to come and join him in the mission. What's exactly the machlekes? Tzadafkimina, Tzadea produced, and Tzadea called them. What's exactly the machlekes? Says the Kerem Tzvia, a beautiful pshat writer. He says, according to Rabbi Kiva, it started once for there. There was only once for there. Why did it start once for there? So according to Rabbi Kiva, the lesson was, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tevea Nefoshes B'Tchila, Ein Bala Rachmim Tevea Nefoshes B'Tchila. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam never gives up on people. He gives them opportunities to do tshuva before the serious punishment comes. We find it by the Mabul, by Mole Shivas Yomim. Even they deserved it. Another 7 days. Maybe they do tshuva. The ones that day came along, the Rabbeinu Shel was keeping back the Makkah. Maybe they'll do tshuva. They'll see this enormous tzvadeah and they'll realize Moshe Rabbeinu's words are true. Maybe they'll do tshuva. They have the chance. They have the chance to do right. So they have a chance to do tshuva. So therefore, if they have a chance to do tshuva, it could have stayed one tzvadeah. They didn't. Then it produced many more. That was the mahalach of Mak tzvadeah according to Rabbi Kiva. Said Blob Zara, no. This lesson belongs to Negoim V'Olos. Negoim, we find this lesson. The Bosh purse put the tzaras on the houses, on the clothes, and then another person. This sort of lesson, Rabbi Kiva, leave that for your Negoim V'Olos. That's not pshat of here. That wasn't the message of Mak Tzvadea, the Rachmon, but that wasn't the message of the Tzvadea. Said Blob Zara, I'll tell you the message. The message was to teach the Mitzriim, and to teach Klal Yisrael how the Rabbi Shem does everything middle, connected middle. We find that Tzvadeh went into Paro's house first. He was the one that started. He was the one, he was the trouble, the source of the trouble, and he called everybody to join in. The Matzah was an exact replicate of exactly what Paro was doing. It was one Tzadeh comes along and calls them all to come and cause sorrows. Exactly like you, Paroi. You, Paroi, were one Paroi. You came and called all the Metzim to harm the Klal Yisrael. The Rabbi Shem showed Mida Kenegan Mida over here. That's why he did it. It was one Tzadeh calling them all. There's always one central troublemaker, as the Rabbi Shem was showing him, which brings all the rest along. And to bring them along. That's the message you're supposed to learn from the one Tzvadeah. That's the Jablos Bazar. We have to learn from the Tzvadeah this inyan of Midah Keneged Midah. We have to learn from the Tzvadeah how the Rabbeinu Shleim doesn't overlook any small point. Everything comes exactly measured, exactly how a person needs to be shown, exactly how he did the hate. That's exactly the Midah Keneged Midah, as we know all the Machs of Midah Keneged Midah. That's the Machlokes. So Machlokes are Rabbi Kiva. And Lozai is, what message is the Tal Tzvadeah telling us? Is he telling us that in a balarachmim pegeyab and the forsha tchilo, or is he telling us that no, the in the midah keneged midah, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted to show Paroi how he's the source of the problem, which fits in nicely what we said before with the Makkah the Moifah, you Paroi are the source of the problem, you turn everything bad, you're the source of all evil, you're the source of all bad, and you're the one who caused it all. So therefore, if you get it right, if you put yourself right, everything else will be put right after that. So there's 3 more minutes left, 1 more vault, which is a beautiful vault from Moshe Feinstein, which he says on Hu Aaron Moshe, Hu Moshe Va'aroin, which Rashi says on Pasuk of Vov, Yesh Mekoyim Shemagdim Ala Moshe, Yesh Mekoyim Shemagdim Moshe La'al Loi Malach Sheshgulim Ke'echot. So the kasha, the obvious kasha, Shgulim Ke'echot? Like, come love your oid Kemoshe. Aaron wasn't shokel Kemoshe. Moshe had his madrega of ears, unmatchable. Like, come love your oid Kemoshe. Aaron was tremendous, great. But to say Shgulim, how could you say Shgulim Ke'echot? Says the Moshe Feinstein, we make a big mistake. Shgulim Ke'echot means they both fulfilled their tafkid to the fullest. That's what Shgulim Ke'echot means. Doesn't mean equal. No two people are equal, says the Moshe Feinstein, in the koiches, in the tafkid they were given. No two people are the same. Everybody is given their own koiches, their unique koiches, and their unique powers, and their unique tafkids in the world. Everybody has got the job to fulfill their target to the fullest. Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled his target to the fullest, and Aaron fulfilled his target to the fullest. I once mentioned to the Yeshiva Bochim, there used to be when the streets of Manchester used to get swept by these machines, they used to be swept properly. There was a company called UBU. That was the name written on the side. You see sometimes these lorries, on rare occasion, you see them somewhere around Manchester. I used to tell them, whenever you see this lorry, just look at the name. You be you. Be yourself. Nobody's meant to be somebody else. You be yourself. Don't be anybody else. Everybody's got their own unique tafkid. Everybody's got their own unique koichas. If you try and do somebody else's tafkid, you haven't got the koichas to be in this tafkid. You have to be yourself. Moshe Aaron. Moshe didn't try to be Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron HaKohen didn't try to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Each one knew they've got their tafkids in the world. Each one achieved their tafkid to the fullest. So our tafkid is to make sure everybody must know they got their koiches. Don't try and achieve somebody else's tachlis. We have to aim to achieve our own tachlis. And if everybody achieves their own tachlis, then we realize in Olam Habo that we all reach the climax where we're supposed to reach, and we won't get put off by other people and what they look like.
Schreibt man nicht, schreibt 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 nicht,